Welcome to the KICC Malawi podcast. We pray that you'll be encouraged with the message today.
At the end, you say, I feel in my spirit, God is saying I should give. You just give. Amen? We bless the name of the Lord for what God is doing in our lives. Today we are looking at the topic, things which we have seen and heard. Things which we have seen and heard. It matters what you see and what you hear in life. Somebody say amen. It matters what you see and hear in life. There are some people who have made right decisions and their life totally turned around based on what they saw and based on what they heard. There are also some people whose lives turned out completely wrong and suffered devastating consequences in life based on the decision which they made, dependent on what they heard and also what they saw. The way you behave today in that way based on what you have seen and based on what you have heard. In Acts chapter 13, the Bible, chapter 3, the Bible tells us a story of a man who was born lame. Since he was born, he had never walked all his life. And for him, he thought, life is supposed to be like this. And the parents and relations decided the only useful thing that can come out of this man is to lay him by the door to the tabernacle and let him become a beggar. So the only profession he knew all his life was to beg. But the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 3 in verse 1 that now Peter and John went up to the temple at the hour of prayer. And I want us to know already, before we go into the word, that great things happen in prayer. Somebody say amen. Great things happen when we pray. Prayer is the only way God has chosen to bless us. It is the way we talk to God. It is the way that we tell God what we are feeling in our hearts. Until you verbalize it, you shouldn't lie to yourself and say, he already knows. He wants to hear your voice. Hallelujah. So they go into the temple. And the Bible says it was the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. We need to expect to receive from the Lord. You can't just come to church, sing songs, hear preaching, walk out, and expect to receive nothing from God. You should expect at least God to touch your life. Hallelujah. So, then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have. And possibly, at this point, the man was disappointed. But what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Some of us, we need to walk. Some of us, we need to rise up. Some of us, situations in life have oppressed us so much. We have been into so much bondage that we don't believe God can do a new thing in our lives once again. we have believed possibly life is supposed to be like this. Even with sickness. In the book of Job 42 verse 10, the Bible says sickness is captivity. When you go into the book of Luke chapter 13 verse 11, the Bible calls sickness a spirit of infirmity. When you go into verse 16 of Luke chapter 13, the Bible calls sickness the satanic bondage. In Acts chapter 10, 38, the Bible calls sickness oppression of the devil. When you come into Deuteronomy 7, 15, the amplified version, the Bible calls sickness evil. When you go into the book of, which is the other one? Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 15 and 16, the Bible calls sickness a curse. Any sickness falls in these six categories that the Bible defines sickness as. And God says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Hallelujah. There's some things that have oppressed us for so long that we have believed life has to be so. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. Verse 7. And immediately his feet and ankle and bones received strength. I pray for you this morning, may you receive strength from the Lord. I say, I pray for you this morning, may you receive strength from the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he leaping up, stood and walked. And I want you to know, this is the first time he is standing up. This is the first time he is walking. But the first time he stands up and walk, if he was someone else, he could have started running home. I want them to go and see what God has done. But the Bible tells us he entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. May the Lord do something in your life that will amaze people. That people will conclude and say, this is a wonder. Your amen is weak. Hallelujah. So, when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us, as though by our own power or godliness we made this man walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. And killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Yet now, brethren, I know you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets, that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things whatever he says to you. And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among his people. Yes, and all the prophets from Samuel and those who follow, as many as have spoken, have also foretold these days. You are sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. To you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, while others were filled with amazement and wonder of what God could do and of what God can do, others felt threatened. It's not everybody who rejoices when things go well with you. It's not everybody. This man had been lame. With the time he came out from his mother's womb, he was lame. Some of us are born okay. Things happen at some point in our lives and we can become disabled. But this man, he was born so. To the point that when he stood up and leapt with joy and praised God for the first time in his life and completely forgot about asking for alms at the door into the temple, when others were so amazed of what God can do and filled with wonder of what God can do, others were threatened. They could have been very happy if this man continued to be lame for the rest of his days. They could have been very happy if this man was still a beggar for the whole of his life, as long as they held on to their positions. They could have been very happy. And it's the same situation today, that whilst God wants to bless us, whilst God wants to lift us up, whilst God wants to do a wonder in our lives, whilst God wants to do some amazing in our lives, the enemy is not happy. The enemy would want you to see you continue suffering. The enemy would want you to see you still complaining. The enemy would still want to see you not experiencing any breakthrough, any encounter with God, any amazing thing from God. And Peter tells him, you need to repent and get back to God. And I want to say this thing. Since the beginning of times, there's only one way we come to God. Repent. You cannot be walking anyhow and expect that God is going to do amazing things in your life. The answer is no. And I want to tell you this, because does it mean things will not go well with you? They'll go well with you. They will go well with you. And I have a scripture for that. Unless the Lord builds a house, those that build it, they build it in vain. So it doesn't mean you are not going to build a house. You will build a house. But the Bible says it's going to be in vain. You will have a job. And the job, you may be doing very well in that job. But the Bible says it is in vain. Hallelujah. You may have a thriving business. And become the envy of the city or the nation. But the Bible says, as long as God is not in it, it is in vain. You may even have a great marriage and everybody else. So God's like, we want to be like them. They are not in Christ. But there's no single day we have heard they quarreled. There's no single day we heard they fought. There's no, you know, there are some people who are not born again, but they are nice. Let's be honest. Some of us who are born again, people don't even admire us. And there are people who are not born again. You look at them, you say like, well, you mean I'm born again? I'm born again. And the guy is not born again. And the Bible says, that is in vain. Because something greater and big can happen when Christ comes in. Hallelujah. So it doesn't mean that it will not work. But the Bible says it's in there. It will work. You will see amazing things. You will see wonderful things. You will see great things. But as long as Christ is not in it, it's in there. So repentance and accepting Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, is the only way to be served. It's the only way to go to heaven. Say amen. Amen. Ignorance is not an excuse. Peter tells him, there was a time when you were ignorant. And whatever you did it in ignorance. But now, you have known the truth. And you need to respond to the truth. Hallelujah. You need to respond to this truth. And then he tells them something very profound. It says, because there is a day when the Lord will restore all things. And that truth stands to this day. There's a day coming when God will restore all things, as he declared from the beginning. So, whilst all this is happening, something happens in Acts chapter 4, verse 1 to 22. Peter and John are arrested. And they are given strong warning. And they are threatened. And they are told, don't dare you ever speak again or teach again in the name of Jesus. Now, as they spoke to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them. Came upon them doesn't mean they came and said, "I'm a bunch." No. There is coming upon them. What the word that the Bible could have used here is, and pounced on them. They pounced on them. Why did they pounce on them? Why did they come on them? The Bible says it's because they were greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of men came to be about 5,000. So what we see happening in Acts chapter 3 led to the salvation of 5,000 men at least. We are not told the number of women, We are not taught the number of children. And I want to tell you this morning. Children also can be served. Your children, God wants them served. Don't tell me it's just a child. As long as they come to the point of understanding good and evil, they need Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So about 5,000 respond to this salvation. But the Sadducees are greatly disturbed. The priests are greatly disturbed. The captain of the temple is greatly disturbed. And they say, guys, let's pounce on these guys. Then the following day came, and it came to pass on the next day, that their rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas the high priest, Cephas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. There are some people who like things to continue being in the state that they have always been. It's not everybody who wants change. There are some people who actually think things have to continue being the way they are. Because if things change, I'm going to lose my position. I'm going to lose my privileges. There are some people who have held on to positions past retirement. It has nothing to do with them doing the job. But the perks, the privileges, and the day you tell them, please retire, they'll say, I'm going to die. You need to have mercy. I'm going to die. And that's what's happening. And then when they had set them in the midst, they asked it, by what power or by what name have you done this? And this is not a question that they are asking smiling. And he was expecting an answer. And then the Bible tells us, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. Church, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Some of us, we are as weak as we are in prayer, in everything we do in our lives, because we do not desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit on a daily basis. That's why there's no boldness. So Peter, after he's filled with the Holy Spirit, he said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you, pointing at them, crucified, whom God, pointing to heaven, raised from the dead, by him, Jesus, this man stands here before you whole. Because the man came. Hallelujah. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Church, I want you to know, the Bible says it, salvation is in Jesus and Jesus alone. Salvation is not in Baha'u'llah. Salvation is not in Muhammad. Salvation is not in Hindu. Salvation is not in anyone else. Salvation is not in the God of your fathers that are wood and stone. Salvation is in Jesus Christ. And it has been so, and it will remain so till the day Jesus returns. Salvation is in Jesus and Jesus alone. Sometimes we are apologetic about these things, but not anymore. not anymore. May God fill us with the Holy Spirit, that we can declare His word with boldness and say salvation is in Christ and in Christ alone. Some of you have led your relations to hell because you did not tell them the truth. You want them to continue living in sin and tell them, the Lord will still bless you. Where? Not the Lord. Unless they build, they can build. But if God is not in it, it's in vain. Some people need to be taught, this life you are living, you are wasting it. This life you are living, it's in vain. And one day, you will regret. Hallelujah. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. Peter and John didn't go to Harvard. They didn't go to Stellenbosch. They didn't go to the university that God loves. You know it. They didn't go to Chancellor College. They didn't go to Mubas. They didn't go to Mass. They didn't go to Kuhes. They didn't go to Luana. They didn't go to all these other universities. They didn't go there. The Bible says they were uneducated and they were untrained men. The only thing they knew was to catch fish. That's the only good thing they could say about them. School zero. Education zero. What about you who is educated? What about you who is trained? Don't you want God to use you? But your life is so comfortable. You know, as for me. Actually, these days people ask, so have you added another degree? I just finished my first PhD. Or I'm doing my second PhD. That PhD, the day you die, will bury you. The PhD will not go and knock on the door in heaven and say, the guy coming. Deserves to come. He went. And here is his PhD. It's salvation in Christ and Christ. In other places, in West Africa, I think in South Africa it's happened, that somebody has died and they buried the person in a place. You and I, the only two seats. And this man, they had to dig with the when he's arriving at the gate. So that when he's arriving, he says, prepare. We have arrived. We are coming from earth. And we didn't come alone. We hear there are some streets of God here. So those streets of God, we need to drive an S50, 350. Everything, the speed. We want to see how the speed will do 250 kilometers per hour in the streets of God in heaven. Some of the stuff we do are foolish. And people admire it. Hallelujah. So they marveled because they saw boldness. And they realized one thing. The Bible says when they saw all these things, they realized that they had been with Jesus. It's high time, brothers and sisters, people realize you have been with Jesus. Pastor Sunga, it's high time that people realize this man must have been with Jesus. Because you know what? Even your degree, even your certificate, even your car, even your whatever, you are not the first person on planet Earth to have that degree, to have that car, to have that house, to have whatever it is. You can be whatever you are, but still be righteous. Hallelujah. And people realize, no, there must be something different. This man has been with Jesus. If there are some timid people in the offices, it's us Christians. Very timid. We see all the wrong things going on and we can't say a word for the fear of losing our job. We see evil happening in the nation and we can't say anything. The Bible is clear. Righteousness exalts a nation. Sin is a reproach to any people. Hallelujah. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, he was standing with Peter and John. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 3, the guy held on to them. So on this day, when the Sadducees and everybody else, the ones who pounced were small in number. As you come to verse 5, actually the number grew. So this guy says, all my life, I have been lame. All my life, I have been a beggar. So if these guys think they are going to deal with you, let them also just deal with me right now, because I would rather they deal with me now and go to heaven than for me to go and continue being carried around again. I'm ready to die. So he stood with us. Moments in your life, you just need to stand for the truth. Hallelujah. You need to learn as a child of God to stand for what is right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when they saw all that, the Bible tells us something else. They could say nothing against it. God knows how to shut people's mouths. But when they had commanded them to go outside of the council, so the man had to go out also. Because this man said, they are sending you out. I'm going with you. I'm not going to allow anything evil to happen to you. I'm going with you. So they went out. So they told them, let the men discuss. It's as if Peter and John were not named. They conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do? This time around, earlier on, they were shouting. By what power? And by what name have we done this? When they saw the boldness and the presence of the Holy Spirit, the next discussion was in your thoughts. And this is how to this man. That a notable work has been done through them is evident to all people in Jerusalem and even we ourselves cannot deny it. But so that it speaks in faith among people. Guys, let us severely. Call them. Now they changed again. They initially they were proud. Now they have been humbled. Now they have to wear again their hypocrisy. So they said, call them in. So they called him. And then they gave him. We are commanding you not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. That's now the command given. But whilst they had given the command, the Jesus who had healed this man also had given a command. Hallelujah. And the command of Jesus was very simple. Go ye therefore into all the nations and make disciples of all nations, teaching them, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And lo, I am with you to the ends of the earth. Jesus commands. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the end of the earth. And I am with you to the end of the earth. And where is this miracle happening? Jerusalem. Where Jesus said, you will be my witnesses. So now, another group rise up and say, you know what? We command you. Never, ever, anywhere, at any time, telling any man about this man Jesus, or teaching them about this man Jesus. So Peter and John now need to make a choice. Are we going to obey the authorities, or are we going to obey what God says? And possibly the guy who was lame, the moment they said, we command you not to teach any man or preach or speak to any man in the name of Jesus. Your guess is as good as mine. The guy who had been lame and now is walking. The master said not to the Sadducees, but turned to Peter. And the turning to look at Peter and John, he looked, but he asked a question. There are times when people look at you, you know they have asked a question. And Aunt Naomi, you can't lie to me. People have looked at you. Your husband has just looked at you. And your response was, what? The guy says, hey, me, I'm looking at a cockroach. Now we should kill it. He says, yeah, so now I'm cockroach. He says, I said nothing. No, but when you are looking at the cockroach, the eyes were passing by me. He says, hey, are you air? So the man must have looked to Peter and John. He says, guys, so what is going to be your response? So Peter and John spoke. And that's where the title of our message came from. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. End of my address. I'm not going to say anything. And the Sadducees say, when they had faith, the first thread was, we command never to speak to him, to teach him about this man, about Jesus. The next one is, there are people who say, you dead, your job is gone. And there are even others who threaten you with death. If the son and is still walking around, and all of a sudden, and after they threatened them, they didn't allow Peter and John to say anything else more. The Bible says they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. For the man was over 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing had been performed.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. Our prayer is that God has spoken to your heart. Be blessed in this week.